Okay, let's just dive right in. When the Vision Pro launched, the reaction was pretty much universal, right?
Oh, absolutely. A technological marvel, for sure. But
But a brick, an industrial brick you strap to your face.
you look like you were about to go scuba diving. And after, maybe 45 minutes, your neck definitely agreed.
Exactly. It was foundational, a version 1.0 product, if there ever was one. It proved the concept, but that's about it.
For short bursts, indoors, and for a staggering $3,500.
Right. But now we've gotten our hands on a ton of new sources. We're talking leaks, industrial CAD files, some deep market analysis, and they are painting a very, very different picture for its successor.
This is the Apple Vision Air, and it's not just an upgrade. It feels more like a complete strategic pivot.
And that's what this deep dive is all about. We're going to give you the shortcut to understanding that strategy.
Our mission here is to get way past just a list of specs. We want to look at why Apple is making these really bold, specific choices and how that sets up, the next big battleground for computing in 2026.
Because this thing feels like Apple's first real shot at challenging the iPhone screen itself.
To do that, they had to start with the biggest complaint about the Vision Pro.
The weight,
Yeah.
the isolation, it looked a little dystopian, let's be honest.
That's it. And the sources are all aligned on this. Apple's strategy is basically captured in one phrase: delete the computer from the face.
I like that. So they're taking every criticism and just engineering it away.
Exactly. But that brings up the big question: how do you slash the weight of a spatial computer while keeping all the tech you need for actual good AR?
That sounds like a physics problem.
It's a materials science problem and a strategy problem. Remember, the Vision Pro is tipping the scales at over 600 grams.
Depending on the strap, yeah, that's heavy.
So the sources confirmed the Vision Air chassis is milled from a custom magnesium titanium alloy.
Okay, so why that specific blend? What does that get you?
It's not just about being light, it's about an aerospace-grade strength-to-weight ratio. Magnesium is, incredibly light on its own.
But flint.
Right. Alloying it with titanium gives it the rigidity it needs. It prevents the frame from flexing, even when it's super thin.
And the result is a massive weight
A
drop.
shocking one. The reports are saying the Vision Air is coming in at under 120 grams.
Wait, under 120. To put that in perspective for you, that is lighter than a lot of high-end prescription glasses. That's a completely different category of device.
It changes everything for all-day wearability. And the look, the aesthetics are just as dramatic.
So gone is the big black ski goggle look.
Completely gone. They've also removed the EyeSight external display,
The creepy eye thing.
the one that projected your eyes to the outside world. Yeah, that was not a fan favorite.
That's a huge cut, though. EyeSight was meant to make you seem less isolated.
It was, but they're clearly betting on subtlety now. The whole design ethos is wearable, high-end, and subtle.
What do the leaks say it looks like?
Like a pair of thick, very sophisticated designer frames. Think Ray-Ban meets a little bit of sci-fi. They want you wearing this down the street, not just in your office.
Okay, so that's a huge shift in design. Let's move to the tech, because the display system seems to be the main battlefield here.
It's the core philosophical break from the Vision Pro. The Pro was all video pass-through.
Meaning you were looking at screens showing you a video of the outside world.
Right. It worked, but it was power hungry and it fundamentally, cut you off. The Vision Air is throwing that model out for true optical AR. The glass is actually clear, you're looking through it.
So how does the digital stuff appear? That part still feels a bit like magic.
It's incredibly advanced optics. They're using something called diffractive waveguides.
Okay, break that down.
So think of a waveguide as a tiny transparent channel that's etched right into the glass lens itself. A tiny projector fires light into the edge of the lens, and that light travels through these channels.
And then bounces it directly onto your retina.
Exactly where it needs to go. But this tech has always had one huge problem:
Brightness.
brightness. The moment you step outside into the sun, older AR glasses just looked washed out and
So
useless.
what's changed?
This is the breakthrough the sources are all highlighting. They're apparently achieving 4,000 nits of brightness with new Sony micro-LED panels.
4,000 nits. For you at home, that's brighter than most high-end phone screens on their max setting.
And that number is the key.
Right.
That's what unlocks all-day outdoor usability. It means your navigation arrows, your notifications, they stay perfectly crisp even in the California sun.
Without that, it's just an indoor toy.
With it's a real utility. And this lets them find what they're calling the AR sweet spot. The leaked field of view, the FOV, is somewhere between 50 and 70 degrees.
So it's not that super immersive 100-degree VR experience.
And that's intentional. It's a trade-off. For augmented reality, you don't want your entire vision consumed. That 50 to 70 degree window is perfect for seeing notifications in your periphery for those little directional cues without taking over.
It keeps you connected to the real world.
Exactly.
Okay, and if we connect this all back, the reason they got to that sub 120 gram weight suddenly makes perfect sense. The Vision Air isn't a standalone computer at all. It's being positioned as the ultimate iPhone accessory.
That is the secret to the entire design. They took the heavy chips, the M series, the R series, and the huge battery, and they moved the brain.
To where it already lives, your pocket.
The primary compute is happening on the A19 Pro chip in the user's iPhone.
So the glasses themselves are, what, just fancy monitors?
They're highly specialized input and output devices. They have their own low-power chip, the Apple R2. But its only job is sensor fusion, eye tracking, and hand gestures. It just manages the input.
And all the heavy lifting, the graphical rendering, is streamed from the iPhone.
Precisely. It's beamed over either an ultra-thin woven cable or maybe, just maybe, a super stable Wi-Fi 7 connection.
But what about lag? If I turn my head really fast and the brain is in my pocket, isn't there going to be this awful motion sickness-inducing delay?
Ah, that's where the R2 chip is so critical. It handles the head tracking locally on the device. So even while the iPhone is busy calculating the next big complex frame, the R2 makes sure what you're seeing moves with your head instantly. No lag.
It's a very clever dance between the two chips.
It has to be.
The implication here is huge, though. It means if you don't have a new high-end iPhone, these glasses are just expensive paperweights.
It locks you into the ecosystem tighter than ever before, even more than the Apple Watch. It's a gamble.
A huge gamble. And you'd have to imagine the power drain on the iPhone is going to be insane.
Monumental. The sources are pretty clear that the iPhone 17 and 18 will need massive upgrades in battery density, or you'll just have to carry a MagSafe power bank everywhere.
You're trading weight on your face for a brick in your pocket.
Basically. But Apple is betting that trade-off is worth it because of their ace in the hole.
Apple intelligence.
This is where the whole thing becomes more than just a heads-up display. It becomes a true utility, driven by what they call contextual computing.
The glasses see what you see, and the AI acts on it.
Proactively. The sources have these really vivid examples. Imagine you're in Tokyo. You look at a menu written entirely in Japanese.
Right now, I take out my phone, open an app, take a picture. It's a whole process.
With this, the glasses just overlay the English text directly onto the paper menu in real time, matching the font and everything. You don't even have to ask.
It eliminates the step of formulating the question.
It totally does. Another example was for car repair. You're looking at an engine and the glasses just highlight the exact bolt you need to loosen with a green arrow.
It's expert guidance, visually, in the moment you need it.
Your interaction with the world becomes the input. That's the paradigm shift. You're not looking down at your phone, you're looking up at the world, and the phone is just supporting you invisibly.
And that makes the Tether seem worthwhile. It also leads us straight to the brand wars, because 2026 is where this market just explodes.
Yeah, the blood will be spilled. You basically have three titans with three completely different philosophies.
Okay, let's lay them out. First up, Apple Vision Air.
Their philosophy is the walled garden, premium, seamless, private. The ace is the ecosystem. An iMessage pops up on your glasses instantly. No pairing, no thinking. It just works.
And in the other corner, we have Meta, their project, Orion or Nazar.
Meta's philosophy is all about independence. Mark Zuckerberg wants to break free of Apple and Google completely, so their device is designed to be standalone.
But what are the trade-offs for going standalone?
It has to be bulkier. It needs a big chip and a battery inside the frame. And for input, they're betting on a neural wristband, which is a big question mark for usability.
And their focus is more on the social metaverse side of things.
Exactly. Holographic chess with a friend across the country. That's their vision.
Okay. And the third player is the big one. Samsung and Google together.
Theirs is the philosophy of the open utility. It'll run Android XR, it'll be powered by Gemini, and it's expected to be cheaper, maybe in that $1,000 to $1,200 range.
Much more accessible.
Way more accessible and deeply tied into things like Google Maps and Assistant. They're betting on the sheer scale of their data and the Android platform.
So it's the premium walled garden versus the independent socializer versus the open data-driven utility.
That's the three-way fight.
And to compete, Apple has to kill that $3,500 price tag.
They know it. They can't replace the smartphone with something that costs as much as a used car. The leaks are pointing to a new price between $1,500 and $2,000.
Okay, so that's high-end MacBook Pro territory. Expensive, but justifiable as a primary tool, not an experiment.
And then you factor in the carrier deals, Verizon, T-Mobile. They're going to want to bundle this.
Add 50 bucks a month to your iPhone plan.
Exactly. That makes it feel much more digestible for consumers. It's how we buy phones now anyway.
So what's the timeline? When do we actually see this thing?
The leaked dates point to an unveil at WWDC in June of 2026 with a retail launch in the fall alongside the iPhone 18.
Which makes sense. They need to launch the phone with the A19 Pro chip and the bigger battery to power the whole system.
The two products are now completely linked.
Okay, so let's bring it all home. The grand verdict from all these sources. We've seen the weight loss, the optical AR, the compute split. Does Vision Air finally kill the iPhone?
The consensus is that it marks the beginning of the end. It's the first real serious move towards what people call invisible computing.
It's about removing that screen barrier between you and the world.
Apple is making this huge bet that people are willing to wear something on their face if it means they can stop staring down at a black rectangle 100 times a day and actually, you know, look up.
It's a reversal of the last 15 years of tech.
It is. Moving from a device that demands your focus to one that just enhances your reality passively.
All right, so let's distill it for you, the listener. The three things you absolutely need to take away from this. First, the weight. Dropping from 600 grams to under 120. And that's only possible by moving the brain to the iPhone.
Second, the technology shift. From video pass-through to true optical AR, powered by those super bright 4,000 nit waveguides, that's what makes it work outdoors.
And third, the killer app. Apple Intelligence acting as a contextual computer, a visual interpreter that gives you answers before you even ask the question.
It's a powerful combination, even with the iPhone tether.
And that leaves us with a final provocative thought for you to chew on. The market is splitting. You're going to have a choice between the seamless, integrated utility of Apple's system and the standalone, immersive freedom that Meta is chasing. So if Vision Air works 10 years from now, do we look back at our smartphones the way we look back at pagers as these archaic, clunky antiques?
Yeah.
Something to think about.